Welcome to Ugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. Yeah, this is Brad Culp. It's March 7th, 2012, still. I've got Sam Grass and Trevor Wolford in the studio with me this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Brad. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well.
Good.
You getting ready for March Madness?
If I can get my team into it, I am. You know how that goes.
So what are the odds?
They should be in.
Yeah. Good enough. And Trevor's not looking at the mic this morning, so I guess he's not talking to us. We've got a great show for you this morning. We've got Kevin in Dallas with his guest, Chris Smith. And without further ado, I will pass it over to you, Kevin, and take it away.
All right. Thank you. Good morning. As you mentioned, I have Chris Smith. She is the Director of Marketing for Parkgate Active Adult Retirement Community here in Dallas. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Kevin. It's great to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Well, you're very welcome, and it's a pleasure having you. Let's start off by having you give us just a little bit of your background, where you're from originally, and how you came to be where you are today.
Okay. Well, I'm originally from Boston. I'm a fourth-generation Bostonian and descendant of Governor William Bradford. And I had a public school education, went to Boston Latin School, and received an undergraduate degree from Boston College, and I majored in business. And then I married in Dallas in 1977 and have two terrific children who grew up here. And actually, my career spans over a number of years in startup companies in Dallas.
Well, good. So tell me a little bit, or tell us a little bit about how you came to be in the senior living field.
Well, it's kind of interesting. The last project I had was a development in a ski resort in Colorado. And I developed 40 acres of ski and ski out property there. And when the economy went into a downward spiral, I realized very quickly it's not the best time to be in real estate. And I've always had a passion for helping people. And I've always admired elders. And so I thought, well, gosh, you know, I've always been a caretaker. This would be so fulfilling. And felt that there was a real need for it.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about Parkgate?
Sure. A friend of mine who's in my book group that I've known for many years knew that I was interested in seniors, and she had a friend who was in need of help with marketing. So my friend made the introduction, and Colleen Shirley, who's the owner of Parkgate, we really connected. And so I've been there for a year. And I wear a lot of different hats, and I love it. I just love being a part of this profession.
So Parkgate was your first job in senior living?
Absolutely. You know, it's the first time that I've been in this industry. And I've come to really enjoy it on a number of different levels. For instance, I find that the people I've met in the profession are they're very genuine, they are very caring and selfless and genuine. I just love the way in this profession people really help one another, and it's for the common good of our seniors.
Right. So Parkgate is an active adult retirement community. I assume it's 55 and over?
Correct.
Okay. And can you tell us a little bit about the property, what it's like? And
you know, it's a really interesting property. It has a history. Years ago, it was built for Braniff Airlines Training Center. So it was the Braniff Airlines College for flight attendant training.
Wow.
And so it was, I think it was built in the late 60s. So it really has a lot of character, a little is contemporary. And when the owners took it over about 12 or 13 years ago, they completely renovated the building. It's a mid-rise. And they kept true to the integrity of the architecture. So it's just kind of a throwback to, like, as an example, we have a circular conversation pit with a fireplace in the center.
Wow.
So it's just warm, and we really enjoy our residents because we get to know them and their families and their friends, and we become a family.
Yeah, and from what I understand, it's a fairly small community.
Well, it is. We have 46 apartments.
Okay.
And so, you know, it is, there's just one of us, we're family owned, and so we have a lot of flexibility.
Yeah.
Because we are.
Well, and that adds to that community feeling that you were mentioning, when everybody knows everybody, and it's just a great opportunity for everybody to get together and know your neighbors and socialize.
And they really do. It's interesting. We offer three meals a day, restaurant style, and if someone doesn't come down for breakfast and they're not there for lunch, well, someone will certainly let us know about it, you know.
Yeah.
So they do look out for one another, and they're their new family, really. I mean, outside of their immediate family, they become family.
So you mentioned the three meals a day. What other types of services are provided?
Well, it's carefree living. Independent people can live alone. In their own apartment, they can, you know, make all their own decisions. But what we offer them is the opportunity to have a carefree life, in that we provide all their meals, it's included, and we provide housekeeping and linens and activities, and we offer transportation and presentations and events and talks and so forth, dances, entertainment. It's just a great place to be if you no longer want to take care of the pool and do the yard work and, you know, prepare all your meals.
So do you have a pool?
We do have a pool. We do, actually. And it's a great place for residents to bring friends and grandchildren. And
yeah.
So it's active.
Yeah, that's great. So tell me a little bit about what you find most rewarding. You know, coming from the real estate business into this, I imagine you have no shortage of stories, but what do you find most rewarding now that you've been here for a year?
Well, I find the interaction I have with the residents to be the most rewarding part of my job, because I love to see them enjoying themselves, and I love their stories, and they're so wise and so genuine, and I'm just fascinated. We have one lady who's been with us for a number of years, and she turned 100 years young in July. And she's just a marvel. She's independent, completely independent. She doesn't use a walker. She doesn't take prescriptions. She's socially active. And she feels that the best way to stay young is just to keep busy. And she speaks Italian, she speaks French, she still plays piano. She was a concert pianist for the San Francisco Ballet and Opera. And so she still has a love of playing her grand piano that she has in her apartment.
Wow.
And sometimes we have the privilege of hearing her play.
Yeah. So having been there a year, I imagine that you have had the opportunity to move people into the apartment from maybe a private home. What have you found to be the most, I've already asked the most rewarding thing, but what is that like, taking somebody from a home into the...
It's a really good feeling, because I know that their quality of life is improved. And, you know, unfortunately, I think a lot of I'm a baby boomer, so I think a lot of people in my generation think, oh gosh, we can't take mom or dad out of their home, and it's all they've ever known, and so forth. But actually, it sometimes becomes a burden.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing for them to do is to come to a community like Parkgate where they don't have all the responsibility. It's their time now to enjoy life and do the things that they wanted to do. I mean, if they just want to, go to a museum or read a book or go to a dance or whatever it is, or go to an athletic event, whatever it is they want to do, now they can do it because they're not burdened with all the responsibilities. Yeah. So that's what I love. I love to see how they really thrive. It's like a new life.
Right. And as we were talking about before we came on there, you mentioned we were talking about how long people can stay with you.
Correct. We have residents 55 to 100 and counting. And our residents are with us. They age in place. If they were home, if they need home care, they can have home care come in. Their doctors can visit, their nurses, their rehab, whatever. But they can still maintain their independence. And, I find that our residents in particular, and because we're a smaller community, they like not being in an environment where people have life-threatening problems.
Right.
Because that's depressing,
mm-hmm.
And so they enjoy being with people that are as active as they are.
Yeah.
And that they can stay active.
So what are some of the activities that go on that you help facilitate to keep them active and vibrant?
Well, we have people that come in and play the piano and sing songs, and we have the Dallas Women's Chorus that comes every year. We have Mardi Gras, which is always a blast. We have auctions. We have sometimes we have people come in and entertain and sing, and we have dancing,
mm-hmm.
and it's so neat because it's the music that they grew up with.
Right.
They know every word. And it blows my mind how many people get up and dance that I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe they're up dancing.
Yeah. If you had a piece of advice to give to families or people who are maybe looking at moving from a home into an independent living, what would you tell them?
Well, I would tell them don't put it off. And I think a lot of people do. But don't put it off if you want to have a better quality of life and to have an independent life without all the burdens of the responsibilities that you have at living at home. Be spoiled. Let someone spoil you. You've been there, done that, and now it's your turn to have your day in the sun.
Yeah, and so, it sounds like a great place to do that.
It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
What is some contact information that you'd be willing to give out?
Oh, sure.
If people wanted to come check out your property?
I would love to have people come visit, and I'd treat them to lunch and a tour. The best way to contact us is to call 214-219-1091. And we're very well located at Wycliffe and the North Dallas Tollway in the heart of Dallas, which is close to museums, performing arts, medical center, shopping, and you can even walk to the public library if you can't find exactly what you want at our library at Parkgate. We also have a website if you'd like to check us out at parkgatedallas.com. And we're on Twitter and Facebook, and if you'd like to reach me, my email address is chris.smith@parkgatedallas.com.
Excellent. Chris, I really appreciate you taking the time this morning to come in, and we'll send it back to the folks in Atlanta.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin, and thank you, Chris, for joining us this morning. Great information, and I hope some of our listeners will come out and tour your facility.
Well, thank you very much.
Before you go, Chris, I just want to make reference that our guest here in Atlanta is also from Boston, and when you mentioned where you went to school, she nodded with a big grin on her face that she went to school there also. Lois, is that true?
That's true, yes. I'm a graduate of Girls Latin School in Boston.
Oh, wonderful. Not very many people know what I'm talking about.
No.
Outside of Boston.
Right. Right.
Interestingly enough, I didn't really detect any kind of Boston accent from you, Chris. And I did hear a few words from Lois earlier that, department. And so I guess you can take the girl out of Boston, but as they say.
It's a wonderful city.
Well, again, thank you for being with us. We'll bring it back here to Atlanta now. And we have Lois Ritchie in the studio with us this morning. And Lois is an educational consultant specializing in geriatric care. And I'm going to let her introduce herself and tell. And good morning, Lois.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. And if you could just start by giving us a little bit of your background and how you came to be where you are today.
I'm pleased to. I'm a geriatric nurse practitioner and an education consultant now. I have been doing this for over 40 years and enjoyed very much. Started in geriatrics rather circuitously. I was working ICU on night shift in Missouri and was asked if I would teach at a nursing home because Missouri had installed some new regulations regarding their nursing assistants, and they had to have education. And because I had a background in nursing education, I went over there, and then it sounded and was a lot nicer than working the night shift in ICU. So I started working for a small company in Missouri that specialized in geriatric education in long-term care facilities, and went back to school and did a graduate degree in gerontology and in nursing in the aging, and have moved on from there. I completed my doctorate in adult education, focusing on the older adult learner, and have been teaching since that time and doing some clinical work.
Lois, immediately to your most recent independent consulting, I know you didn't want to speak of yourself, but I want to establish some credibility here. What were you doing with the University of Georgia?
I was at the Institute of Gerontology at the University of Georgia for 3 years, working on the Geriatric Education Center grant. It's a HRSA grant from the federal government, and we were developing education programs and modules that could be directed to nursing homes, to assisted living, to home care providers that would enable them to get continuing education in the field of aging.
And I think that's important. One of the things we want to do is obviously be a resource for our listening audience, and many of those are providers of care for seniors. So I hope you are not insulted. I did want to establish that and get that piece of information out to our listeners.
Thank you. That's important education for all of us.
There is an event. Well, first of all, what are you doing now? We'll let you speak very briefly about that. And then there's an event coming up, I think March 16th is
correct.
The date, and I'd like for you to speak to that.
What am I doing now?
Yes,
I'm an independent consultant, and I've had the privilege of being hired by Kennesaw State, UGA, and Clayton State to teach the professional development in gerontology classes at each of those universities. And they are in the continuing education department, and they are courses that will help people understand aging and all the resources available to us in aging.
And very quickly, who would those courses appeal to?
Anybody who is interested in the field of aging, who is working in the field of aging, who has family members who are aging, or who sees themselves as possibly aging.
That's very good. We appreciate that. Let's move over to our March 16th date and the workshop that we are really here to speak about.
Yes, thank you. I'm here to talk to you about the Georgia Gerontology Society's spring concert. It is a concert. It's going to be a wonderful concert of information for people. It's going to talk to all of us about palliative care. And palliative care, the topic, the title of our program is Palliative Care, Putting the Pieces Together. And I can only tell you that palliative care is not as frightening a word as a lot of people have decided to see it as. It's really a care that's provided by the medical profession to help people who have been diagnosed with illnesses that probably don't have a high cure rate, but can be maintained and can be cared for long periods of time.
Can you give an example of that?
Chronic pulmonary diseases, mm-hmm. congestive heart failure, so many diseases,
right.
Arthritis, and all of the diseases that are not terminal, immediately terminal, but are not going to respond well to a lot of sophisticated treatments will respond very well to palliative care.
Well, in essence, there's not a cure. Is that reasonable?
Pretty much. Yeah. There has not yet been found a cure. Let's hope that for some of these there will be. But at this time, palliative care is designed to help people work through the symptoms and help manage their symptoms, help them to feel better, help them to feel more in control of their diseases, and to have support and to give some quality of life to what otherwise could be very painful and challenging.
Let's take a short step back. I think a lot of people associate palliative care with hospice and therefore associate it with terminal illnesses, end of life. Can we go back and just define palliative care and talk about it, you know, and maybe contrast it to hospice and what's done in hospice?
Yes, I can, and I did put that down just so I'm sure that I get the information exactly as your listeners would want it. When you're talking about palliative care and hospice care, a lot of people use those terms interchangeably, and it's incorrect because hospice care is a palliative care. Palliative means support, being someplace for somebody, literally. And when you're talking about palliative care, you're talking about taking care of people with serious illnesses. And it's focused on providing the patients with the relief from the symptoms, the pain, and the stresses of the serious illnesses, whatever the diagnosis. And the goal is to improve the quality of life for both the patient and for the family. Hospice care is a palliative care, because you're taking care of people. But unfortunately, there usually is a timeline attached to hospice care, and I think that's what's so frightening to people, because we attach a six-month timeline to hospice care.
Which is really just an arbitrary date.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah.
And very interestingly, if you look at the data, there are people on hospice care who have been removed.
Yeah.
Because they've responded well to their treatment, and they have been taken off hospice care. And we're not here to talk about the Medicare issues, but a lot of people don't know that Medicare will pay for hospice, and you can be taken off of hospice and then put back on hospice. But I'm not here to talk about hospice now. I'm here to talk about palliative care. And palliative care is a term that so few people understand that they're afraid of it. And it's a wonderful specialty that has been introduced to medicine and to the whole healthcare field. And it includes doctors and nurses and pharmacists and nutritionists and physical therapists. And everybody can be on the team of palliative care. And it's designed so that when the doctor says there's not much more we can do to help cure this, but we certainly can help you maintain a quality of life, then you may want to consider palliative care. And that's not to eliminate your primary care physician or your specialist. It's just so that there is somebody there can help guide you and keep you comfortable. And all of the data shows that a lot of people respond very well and live a lot longer when their stress is relieved.
They live a quality
exactly.
life. Yeah.
Exactly.
So what does a palliative care regimen look like?
A palliative care regimen, it's individual. It would be different for everybody, and but just in general terms, the first thing you would do is to locate a person or an agency that provides palliative care services, and then they would know your history, your medical history, and determine what route they're going to take for that. It may be nothing more than the family's counseling, because sometimes family dynamics play a big part in how a patient responds to his or her illness, and when they don't respond well, there's not much that any treatment is going to do. Mm. So just having the counseling. So you may want a specialist who counsels in palliative as part of the palliative care. there may be a nurse who is very good with special techniques on how to use the medications or the treatments. Maybe a nutritionist, especially if the diet is not what the patient can tolerate, and they can find ways to help you find more tolerance with what you have to eat or how you have to eat it. Physical therapy, if there's any problem with the limbs, with the ambulation, with mobility of any sort, they could use physical therapists. So it's dependent on the person, the diagnosis, and how that person wants to be treated. And the person does have a say in how they're going to be treated, which is so important.
Now, would I know we're not here to talk about Medicare, but would Medicare cover any of the palliative care treatments?
Yes. Yes.
So, and I heard you say physical therapy, and again, to contrast with hospice, you know, if you're on hospice, typically you wouldn't have the government paying for physical therapy, whereas, you know, in this case, the treatment schedule for, you know, the holistic treatment schedule might include multiple recommendations that could be covered by Medicare.
And again, we don't want to say anything specific because it would depend on a person's plan.
Sure.
And it would depend on so many things individually, and it wouldn't be fair to misguide anybody. Everybody who is interested in any of these modalities should check with their respective agencies.
I kind of snicker, and because you've been around this issue quite a bit. I can appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's move over to, and that's good information, but let's move over to the workshop, and I know that's what's dear to your heart today, and speak about what we're going to be hearing at that workshop.
Okay. Well, I'm very pleased that we were asked to tell you about our workshop. It is in Macon, and for people living in Atlanta, it's about an hour and 15 minutes to get to the medical center in Macon. The cost of the workshop is $50 if you're not a member of the Georgia Gerontology Society, $35 if you are. That includes parking right near the hospital and the lunch and any refreshments that we serve. The conference begins at 9:30 in the morning and ends at 4 in the afternoon, and you can apply for CEUs if you want them for your respective positions. Our keynote speaker is going to be Ann Glass, who is with the Institute of Gerontology at UGA, and she's going to talk about palliative care and let you know how it all fits and how everything we're going to talk about through the day fits. We're going to be having speakers talking to you about medications and palliative care. We'll be talking about the physiological aspects of dying, the private and public benefits, the culture and spiritual care needs. So many people don't realize that if you are of a culture that does not practice as you'd like, we sometimes ignore that and we fail to respect those people and their needs. And the dementia at the end of life is going to be discussed. The main portion of the program is going to discuss palliative care, and it's going to be discussed by two people who are practicing in the field now at their respective hospitals, at the Macon Hospital and at WellStar.
It seems to me that this specialty, palliative care, is relatively new as far as being clearly defined. So, I mean, is this area of expertise study, has it always been around, and we're just now hearing about it? Can you just give us a little insight into that?
Okay. I suppose if we wanted to look at it outside of the box, yes, it's always been around.
Right.
We've always had people who have provided care, and we've always had people who have been concerned about how care is being provided. Mm-hmm. But the defined palliative care is fairly new, probably with no longer ago than 15, 20 years ago. People began to look at it as a medical specialty. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that the board certification for the palliative specialists is perhaps 10 years old now.
All right. You've told us about the workshop. What can someone who attends, what is the principal value of doing that? What are they going to gain out of the workshop?
What people will gain from being at our workshop is more information about what palliative care is.
All right. How anything else that related to the workshop that you want to speak to?
The workshop is going to be interactive. There will be an opportunity for people in the audience to dialogue with the speakers. There will be breakout sessions where you can discuss specifics. There'll be break times for people who have questions, and there will be an opportunity to find out information that will help you to communicate with these people after the workshop. And hopefully learning more about palliative care will make people want to learn still more.
Great. I want to take another quick step backwards. I know that you're a board member for the Georgia Gerontology Society. Can you talk a little bit about the society and just give us a little bit of information on that?
The Georgia Gerontology Society was established in Georgia 57 years ago, and it is a membership to anybody who is interested in the field of aging, who works in the field of aging. It is not a monthly membership organization. We have two programs. We're going to be having this one in the spring, and then in August we'll be having an annual conference. We welcome people to attend. We encourage people to join the association, and there is a lot of information on our website, like a lot of organizations now where people are so busy, there are not monthly meetings. We have quarterly board meetings and make a lot of decisions. We have an advocacy specialist who keeps us informed of all of the legislature regarding issues on aging.
And what types of people and companies are members of the Gerontological Society?
There are educators like myself, geriatric nurse practitioners. There are a lot of our members are related to the Division of Aging in the Department of Human Services, the Atlanta Regional Commission, which is the area agency on aging, private nursing home representatives. Members of our organization own home health care agencies and long-term care services. Others are retired from these services and want to participate. Mm-hmm. So it's open to anybody who has an interest in the field of aging. Yeah. And, you know, one of our big problems in this country still is gerontophobia. People are afraid of aging, and they're afraid if they associate too closely with people who are aging, it might be contagious. And they don't realize that it's something that's going to happen, so we might as well make it the best we can.
Well, to be a little like my partner will tell you, since I'm around these type of individual seniors, I start to behave, act, and even think like they, or the lack of thought processes they do.
Well, we also have to be careful of ageism, because I think older people are the biggest perpetrators of all of these myths on aging. We're really quite a well-defined group of people who are going to make a lot of changes in the way we run things.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
Indeed.
We've talked about this workshop, and we certainly want that to be the focal point of this topic, and we want our listeners to explore the website, consider attending. But I have two things. First of all, I'd like for you to give our listeners the website where they could go and get more information about the workshop. And I believe there's even an online registration.
Yes.
If you can give them that website, that'd be great.
Glad to give it. The Georgia Gerontology website is georgiagerontologysociety.org.
All right. And from there, they can go and register for the workshop?
Yes.
Okay.
They can click on the link to the workshop and register.
All right.
There is also another online website, is palliativecareconference.eventbrite.com. But if you want to connect, or if you want to find out about the organization and about our activities, I would encourage you to just connect to the Georgia gerontologysociety.org.
Okay. Now, obviously, this workshop and conference is in Macon, and my interests certainly lie in trying to facilitate caregivers here in the Atlanta market. Will the society be doing any workshops in the Atlanta market in the upcoming 6-12 months?
To my knowledge, no, not the Georgia Gerontology Society, but as we spoke before, the whole concept of palliative care is growing so much mm-hmm. that I'm sure that there are hospitals and other people who will want this information out. And I know that I would be very happy to share the information with anybody who wants it here in Atlanta. What? If they contact me, I'd be glad to. I'm not here to tell you my position. My position is on the board, and I would like you to know mm-hmm. about our palliative care conference. Right. But
and in the fall, do you know when and where the fall conference is going to be?
Yes, it's going to be on Sea Island. And it's going to be in August.
It's probably something we should attend, Brad.
And I think that you would benefit a great deal from both membership in the organization and from attendance, because as I've said, we don't require that you come to monthly meetings. Just check us out on the internet. But be aware of this organization that has done so much to keep people informed of aging issues in Georgia.
Okay. Is there any last information or piece of knowledge that you'd like to bestow upon us as far as the workshop is concerned?
The workshop, bringing the pieces together, and it's at the Medical Center mm-hmm. of Central Georgia. It's going to be on Friday, March 16th. And that's in Macon. It is going to be 9:30 to 4 o'clock, and it's $50 if you're not a member of the organization, and that'll include lunch and packing. And we think that it is an excellent opportunity for people to learn more about palliative care.
Lois, that's great information. As we kind of begin to close, I want to ask a question. If our listening audience is, they have elderly parents or loved ones, and they don't know what to do. They're just overwhelmed with the issues. What piece of advice from a high level might you give them as they try to wade through this situation?
Wonderful question. Very quickly, I would tell you one of the best resources we have in Georgia is AgeWise Connection, which is excellent. It is available online, AgeWise Connection. The telephone number escapes me right now, and I regret that. I didn't have that here, but I would urge people to connect with them. Also, the Atlanta Regional Commission and the Area Agency on Aging, there are offices in 12 regions. They're all over the country. And if you have any questions and if you're not satisfied, just keep calling, and you will get information.
Okay.
Great.
I know you kind of broached this subject just a moment ago, and you were volunteering to speak to anyone or have them contact you if they had questions. How could they reach you if they wanted to?
Lois, LOISRICCI at bellsouth.net.
Lois, we certainly appreciate great information. I hope this certainly brings some awareness and some recognition to the workshop. We want to invite you back in the future to speak to these issues, whether it be another workshop or any other issues that might be appropriate in regards to the seniors. And we're just really grateful and thankful to have you on our show.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure being here.
Great information. We want to thank Kevin and Chris in Dallas, and once again, we thank Lois here in Atlanta, and we want to remind our listening audience that if they want to listen to a rebroadcast, they can do so at eugeriaradio.com, and as we always do, we want to close in saying that the youth of this nation is its greatest national resource. It goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you, and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.